Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us as always. A fun day of racing in store as we usually have on the weekend. There's some stakes action, Belmont at the Big A. A couple of nice stakes at Keeneland. We'll talk about that shortly. But a little bit later on, Maryland Millions Day. So Laurel, a really big card down in Maryland. We'll talk with John Piasek about those races. But as I say, some nice stakes at Keeneland. And I also thought we'd talk a little two-year-old action over the past few weeks with our friend Jeremy Plonk, who does some handicapping for Keeneland. So he's watching every day, horseplayernow.com, and much, much more. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to be with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. And let's catch up a little bit. What's going on with horseplayernow.com?
Well, we've got the Buzz Report for this weekend. Jason Blewett, myself, and Terry Terrell looking at the action from New York, Kentucky, and California. So the Buzz is rolling on through Breeders' Cup weekend. We'll have a big package for Breeders' Cup set up for sure. Coming up now just 2 weeks away, so the preparation is upon us.
And I also, at night when I'm home, I usually do my handicapping for the afternoon television show. At night, sitting in front of the computer, and a lot of times I'll fire up YouTube and watch some videos there of all types. But when YouTube first comes up, they suggest videos to me, and being a horse racing person, they will suggest some horse racing related videos. And the other night, live, you previewing the Keeneland card, which I guess is a regular feature. So tout that a little bit. Every racing day, the night before, you do a little preview.
Yeah, it's called the Keeneland Look Ahead. You can watch it at 8:30 Eastern with a live stream. I look through the entire card for the next day, every racing day of the Keeneland meet, and go in depth. It's, 30, 40 minutes of going through each race and explaining why we like what we like and how the race is set up and strategized for the day with the big picture, where the sequences are that you want to attack, where you might want to kind of peel back. A good gambling strategy show, as well as, handicapping and explaining why we like whom we like. And it's been really successful between, the multiple channels. Upwards of 5,000 people a day are taking in the video and, helping their handicapping, not only for Keeneland, but it kind of gives you a lot of strategies and things like that that can apply no matter which track that you're playing.
As I say, I kind of stumbled on it the other night, but now I'm a regular viewer. And as I'm handicapping Keeneland often, I'm kind of looking at your opinions and seeing how they're matching up with what I'm thinking. So it's certainly a lot of fun. Folks can check that out on YouTube and beyond. Now let's get to some of the, I mentioned at the top of the show, some of the two-year-olds at Keeneland the past few weeks. As you are handicapping Keeneland and watching Keeneland, I'd love your opinion on some of these because, of course, normally we have you on a lot at the beginning of the year to talk, the Triple Crown Trail and Countdown to the Crown. And
right.
So I'm sure you're plugged into those two-year-olds at this point. The first one, though, won't be a Countdown to the Crown horse. But I'd love your opinion going back to last Sunday because this, and we're going to watch the entire race here while we're talking, because this was some performance for the sibling to Malathat, Julius Shining. I wasn't totally convinced. I thought at the 2-1, the horse was maybe a little cool on the board. Folks can see there the number 4, you can see in the Stone Street's yellow silks. She's going to fade to the back of the pack. And at that point, I thought, oh, I don't know whether she is going to live up to the older sibling. But as we continue to watch the race, it gets a lot of buzz on Twitter and social media because she makes just an incredible move. But subsequently, there was a 71 buyer, which left me kind of thinking, what to make of the performance? Did she just run by a suspect field? I'm not sure. I'm going to wait for one more from her. But what were your thoughts last weekend on Julia Shining?
Well, she did something abnormal, and that's the first sign of, that you should pay attention, because she was 7.5 lengths back a half mile into the race. And in the Keeneland database that I helped them create about 16 years ago, I looked at the two-year-old races this meet. The average horse in a two-year-old race this meet has been 3/4 of a length off the pace, the average winner. 3/4 of a length. This filly was 7.5 lengths back at the same point. She did something. No horse has closed more than three lengths in a two-year-old race the entire meet. She closed 7.5. And the pace that day was 46-4 for the half. The average time is 46-2 for the 7-furlong two-year-old races for the half. So it was two lengths slower than par to the half, and she still closed more than anybody by a factor of, 4.5 lengths longer than anybody else. So it wasn't pace-aided, and nobody else has done it at the meet. So I think those two things tell you that it's probably better than it's probably better than the numbers suggest. Now, you can say it's a little bit like Justique out of Del Mar. Remember that John Sheriff's trainee who just rocketed from the back of the pack? When they tried to stretch her out, she didn't run very well in the Chandelier. So I don't know if you're ready to go two turns right away with Julia Shining, but look, you've got that pedigree. You know, you're the sister to Malathot. Todd loves to run in the Demoiselle at the mile and an eighth at the end of the winter at Aqueduct with his good two-year-old fillies. She looks like a Demoiselle kind of filly to me.
Yeah, and as I say, it was eye-popping, no question about it, but the buyer left me a little suspect. And then somebody, I think, subsequently tweeted out the older sibling, Malathot, had maybe a 79 in her debut. I'm going to be interested to see because, as you say, she kind of went against everything that you're expecting there at Keeneland, so it was definitely an eye-popping effort.
Yeah.
One that was a pretty good-looking effort and came up with a solid buyer, though. Love your opinion on Extra Anejo. This goes back to October 13th. It's Steve Asmussen and Winchell Thoroughbreds. Extra Anejo is going to be the number eight horse in here. The chart margin just under 10 lengths, and the buyer coming out of this, a solid 92. What were your thoughts on Extra Anejo?
Yeah, this is one that kind of, I thought, came with some expectation and ran to it. That's always nice to see, you know. Sometimes the two-year-old surprises. Sometimes they have expectation and kind of leave us flat. This one had expectation and ran well. So, you know, it's what you want to see from a two-year-old. He's by Into Mischief, and Into Mischief is just, you know, such a dominant sire everywhere, but at Keeneland particularly. So let's see if Extra Anejo runs as well at other tracks. Into Mischief's had six winners already at the meet at Keeneland, and nobody's produced more horses to win at Keeneland since they went back to dirt in 2014 than Into Mischief. So he's bred to love Keeneland, but the Into Mischief's run everywhere. So I'm interested to see his next start, where he goes. He would seem like a logical horse for the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill their Thanksgiving weekend.
As you alluded to, there were expectations. $1.35 million purchase, but they had to feel, you know, a sigh of relief after spending that money and getting a win like that, because he kind of validated. But it will be interesting to see what he does moving forward. And I wanted one more thought, because this one will play into the Breeders' Cup coming up. We'll take a look at a couple of things. Forte, we're going to take a look at Forte winning the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland on October 8th. Forte is going to be the number seven. And then he had a workout this week, and you and I, as we texted back and forth, you said you had some thoughts about this workout as well. So we're watching him come down the stretch in the Breeders' Futurity. I will say, I was on the air doing the handicapping show when Forte broke his maiden on May 27th, and I said, this is going to be a nice horse. Todd Pletcher said immediately after he was going to aim for the Sanford, disappointed there a little bit running fourth, but subsequently wins the Hopeful, and as we're seeing here, wins the Futurity. Give us your thoughts on Forte, and as we're talking, we'll pull up that workout from earlier this week as well.
Well, look, he's been outstanding on the racetrack in the afternoon. You know, two-time grade one winner, one around a sprint distance, one at a route distance. But that effort against Loggins was really hard on both of those horses in the Breeders' Futurity. When you're watching that, you're almost saying, boy, this is too much for a prep, right? I mean, this is a prep for the Breeders' Cup, and these two horses really laid their bodies down. Loggins has already been determined to be out of the Breeders' Cup. They're not going to force him to run in the Breeders' Cup Jubilee after this effort, and they're going to give him some time off. Now, he only had the one career start, so he was a serious bounce candidate coming out of this race. So I think that's a smart move by Brad Cox and company with Loggins. But the same horse who was in that duel with him was Forte. And you say, how much did this race take out of Forte? And for me, I was like, okay, this is one of the main horses of all the prep races that you have to watch their workouts for. How does he bounce out of this race? Is this race going to knock him out? Or is this race going to propel him forward? When I watched that workout the other morning at Keeneland, I saw a horse who was not moving forward. He's on the outside in the work. The workmate's going easier inside of him. He can never get by. He can't get by in the gallop out. Forte, if he's a Breeders' Cup Juvenile champ, to me, that's not a great sign. He's got one more work between now and the Breeders' Cup, but that last workout is usually just a maintenance move. The one positive for him, at least in terms of the work tab, is he's so experienced on the racetrack, right? He's got two grade one races. He's had, four races under his belt now going into the Breeders' Cup. So he's not like an unseasoned horse. And so he doesn't need to get fit, but he doesn't need to be knocked out either. And I'm afraid after watching that workout that he's a bit knocked out. I thought he should have handled the workmate easy. And, in fact, he got outworked. And that's a disappointing sign for him. If you like Cave Rock, the main threat to him was Forte in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. After seeing that workout, you have to think, I thought Cave Rock was kind of like 6 or 7 to 5 anyway. After seeing that workout, Cave Rock looks 3 to 5 to me, because Forte does not look to me like he came out of the Breeders' Maturity just bouncing at a happy horse and ready to go.
Yeah, we watched the work, and as you say, he was on the outside and didn't get past the workmate. And the work really continues around the turn and into the back stretch with a vigorous gallop out. And, yeah, he doesn't get by. That's interesting. And, again, that was just a couple of days ago at Keeneland. All right, before we let you go, get some quick thoughts on Keeneland this afternoon. And I mentioned to people earlier, and I'll mention again, you have selections on the Keeneland website every day. There's a nice consensus box as well with the other selectors down there if folks want to check that out. But two stakes this afternoon and a really nice couple of stakes. The Raven Run we'll take a look at first for the three-year-old fillies sprinting, and they're going to go 7 furlongs. I'm rooting for Dave Donk. I think Fingal's Cave is very good. I'm going to pull up the Fleet Indian from Saratoga going back to August 26th. Fingal's Cave is going to be the number 2 horse here. This was against Statebreds, but had beaten Open Company in an allowance event up in Saratoga in the prior race. I'm going to tilt in that direction, but Smash Ticket, I think, is interesting. Freedom Speaks, making a turf to dirt move for Jeremiah Engelhart, seems like an interesting player. What did you see in the Raven Run?
Yeah, the interesting thing about this race to me is the fact that none of these fillies has ever stepped on the Keeneland dirt, you know, to run in a race. They're all Keeneland for the first time, so it, to me, becomes a little bit of a pedigree question, which horses may handle it better than others. I think Smash Ticket by Midnight Loot and Colorful Mischief by Into Mischief are probably the two most likely to really like Keeneland based on pedigree and the success of their sire's offspring at Keeneland. So to me, I kind of started looking at those two horses as the main two I was interested in for that reason. And I think Smash Ticket's just a faster horse, you know, early. And this race doesn't have a lot of early speed in it. Smash Ticket hasn't gone the 7 furlong trip yet, but I think she gets in front in here. You guys know better than me, even up in New York, that Kendrick Carmouche is as good as it gets on a front runner. So I think he's going to send Smash Ticket to the front from the 2-hole, and she's going to try to take him wire to wire. That was my pick in here, but I think this is a race where you can use, you know, a couple different horses if you're looking at pick 3s and pick 4s, late pick 5. This is a race to get a little bit of coverage in because there are some good options to pick from.
Yeah, it is definitely a fun race. A little bit earlier on the card, the Perryville, $250,000 up for grabs as the three-year-olds sprint 7 furlongs, the three-year-old boys. And I took a look in here and kind of went back and forth and back and forth, but I couldn't get past the obvious Gunite. We're going to take a look at the win at Churchill Downs last time, the Harrods Creek. Gunite's going to be the number 7. But Artorias to me is very interesting. Tried the Travers. I don't blame them trying that. But maybe a little bit overmatched in start number 4. I thought Of a Revolution was interesting. And Provocateur, if we get the 15-1 on the Pletcher runner, Provocateur to me is provocative, not to coin a phrase. But again, right. I couldn't get past Gunite, but I think there are some interesting horses to maybe play around with. Your thoughts on the Perryville?
Yeah, and the ones you mentioned are all live. I think B-Doc just ran through the wind here in the spring meet, you know, with the one race over the track. And Keeneland can be a real horse-for-course kind of track. So the form for B-Doc might come back and wake up here at Keeneland after, you know, a misplaced race in the Pennsylvania Derby. That horse isn't a mile on an 8th grade 1 3-year-old. But cutting back here to the listed Perryville at 7/8, B-Doc can be effective as well. Artorias is interesting because, like you said, that, you know, you don't blame them for trying the Travers after winning the Curlin. I'm surprised they tried the Curlin, you know, and as well as he ran, because his dam, Paula Silver Lining, was just an outstanding sprint mare, you know, and she was really good going short and really good at Keeneland back in the day. So I think Artorias back to 7/8 of a mile is dangerous in here. From off the pace, you know, horse is definitely a closer, not a lot of speed there. And you know, you don't want to be too far off of it sprinting at Keeneland this meet or any. So horses forwardly placed would seem to have a little bit of an advantage in here. So Artorias is probably going to have to run against the track, you know, to win. But if they go fast enough, they'll definitely a big factor late. I did, too, go with Gunite on top. But, you know, visually, that race in the Harrods Creek on the wrong lead the whole way down the stretch, there's a little cause for concern there at a short price. I would not single Gunite. I do not think this is a race where you take the favorite and just say, I'm moving on from the rest. I think you definitely want to use a few of them here in your multi-race wagers.
Yeah, I agree. A couple of nice stakes there at Keeneland. And as I say, you can catch Jeremy with the preview every night. It's 8 o'clock you pop up on YouTube, right, with the Keeneland preview?
8:30 Eastern live, but then it's available on demand thereafter. So, you know, you can check it out anytime, but the show will stream live and premiere at 8:30 each night.
Very good. And as they say, it's worth a watch. And check out Jeremy's selections on the Keeneland website every race day as well. Jeremy, always great to talk to you. As you said, it's been a while. We hadn't connected since before the Saratoga meet, so it was fun to have the conversation. We'll talk again.
Take care, everybody. Good luck to you.
Appreciate it. Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com and beyond. We will take a break. We'll come back with some news and notes, but as I said, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by John Piasek, and we'll preview some of that Maryland Millions card down at Laurel, which is going to be a lot of fun this afternoon. So stay tuned. Take a quick break. Little news and notes when we come back.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Let me update you on what we have coming up, Breeders' Cup. First of all, don't forget, reserve your seat down here. You get a commemorative glass. So give us a call or stop down at the Racebook and reserve your seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday. We always get a great crowd down here. It's always a lot of fun. So you'll definitely want to be here for Breeders' Cup Saturday to join us. And it's always fun to have a big crowd and kind of, you know, put your handicapping skills together maybe and root for you and your friends and maybe combine on some tickets. But again, make sure to reserve your seat here. Breeders' Cup Saturday, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And don't forget, two ginormous Breeders' Cup bankrolls, one online, one here at the Racebook. Mike Rennie will have the online version. I will be here at the Racebook. If you'd like to take your shot at getting on the online team, send an email to marketingmail@capitalotb.com. Put your name and account in the email. Put Breeders' Cup bankroll, BC bankroll in the subject line. marketingmail@capitalotb.com. Send an email. Everybody who does that, their names get put in the hat. We select the team from those folks for the online version. As far as the bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook, folks who reserve a table will have their names put in the hat. If you come down here that day, you can put your name in the hat, and then we'll select the team from amongst those folks, and they will be participating at the Clubhouse Racebook on Breeders' Cup Saturday. Two $2,000 bankrolls. Should be a lot of fun, so really looking forward to that coming up. And also, if you're out in the Utica area this afternoon. Shannon Donovan and I will, right after this, I hop in the car and head out towards the Utica area in the Cleats Branch. Over the last month or so, Shannon and I have visited a couple of local branches up at Queensbury, Columbia Turnpike Branch, and we've done some Saturday afternoon customer appreciation days, some food and contests, and it's been a lot of fun. We've had some nice feedback and had good crowds at both of the events we've done so far. Expect more of the same this afternoon. Again, if you're a patron out that way, stop by the Cleats Branch on this Saturday afternoon. We will be out there today to say thank you to you for your patronage. All right, news and notes coming out yesterday in the racing forum. Mike Welch, he has arrived in Kentucky to do his gig. Always great before big events and all throughout Saratoga. Normally based down at Gulfstream Park, but for the big events, Racing Form ships him around because he is a guy who has a keen eye for watching the workouts. And yesterday morning, he had an article later in the day that said, Breeders' Cup clocker, Pletcher runners steal the show. Mike writes about life is good out yesterday, went solo as usual and was never asked for his best. Also, as usual, the four-time Grade 1 winner breezed 5 furlongs in a minute 42. Mike writes, good stuff by any standards, although visually he just did not seem quite as impressive as he had been all summer at Saratoga when absolutely dragging his exercise rider out of the saddle on a regular basis. So good, but maybe not as good as we were seeing up at Saratoga. Malathat and Nest worked in company and seemed sharp as ever, according to Mike Welch. Malathat with her ears pricked while holding a slim lead over her younger mate. The pair continued on 5 furlongs into the turn in 101.08 before easing up 6 panels, 113.94. Both giving every indication they're sitting on top of another top effort when they meet for the first time in the Breeders' Cup. They both of them come in off of nice efforts down at Keeneland, Malathat and Nest. They will certainly be very, very interesting. Campanelle, Wesley Ward runner was out there, full of run, but Mike notes she did ease up fairly quickly once through the wire. That was interesting and notable, perhaps. There was also a note in here, Pletcher, and I'm kind of going over the article. Maybe it wasn't this article, but noting Todd Pletcher going for, I think it said his fourth or maybe his sixth training title down at Keeneland. And I don't see it. Maybe it wasn't this article. It might have been another one. But I was a little bit surprised. I hadn't quite. Oh, it was. This is the article. Because Thursday, Todd Pletcher did something for the first time in his career. Dead heated for a win. Pure Pauline and grand entrance in the finale at Keeneland on Thursday. They dead heated for the victory. Pletcher was quoted. This is a Marty McGee article. Pletcher was quoted as saying, I've had a dead heat for second before, but this is a first. So getting the dead heat for the win. Marty McGee goes on to say, it took Pletcher nearly 24,000 starters to finally have his picture taken in the winner's circle along with two of his horses. And it was in this article where he continues, for Pletcher, the result epitomized just how good he's going these days. He has won 3 of the 6 Grade 1 races so far at this meet. He won with Forte in the Breeders' Futurity. We watched that a little earlier. Annapolis, the three-year-old gets it done in the Turf Mile, and Malathat in the Spinster. All of them figure as major contenders in the Breeders' Cup. In addition, the two wins give him a 4-win margin atop the local trainer standings, and it would give him his 6th Keeneland training title, 6th. I was a little bit surprised by that. I mean, you know, he's a New York-based guy, but a lot of the not only New York-based guys, wherever, wind up at Keeneland spring and fall. But that subsequently then made me pull up the actual trainer standings currently at the meet. When the article was written, it talked about 4-win margin. Actually, after yesterday's racing, it's a 3-win margin. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the last week or so of this Keeneland meet. Todd Pletcher currently with 9 wins. Brad Cox with 6, as is Wesley Ward. And as are Wesley Ward and Ken McPeak. So there are 3 sitting with 6. Mike Maker has 5. Graham Motion, 4. But Todd Pletcher sitting with 9 wins. 9 for 24 at the meet. So very nice meet for Todd Pletcher so far. And as I say, be interesting to see. And again, I was unaware. 6 training titles so far at Keeneland for Todd Pletcher. And maybe number 7 sitting out there. On the jockey side, just we'll update you. As again, we've kind of crossed the halfway point at the meet. It's a battle amongst the jockeys as well at Keeneland. Tyler Gaffleon with 11, as is Luis Saez, having a very good meet. Florent Giroux with 9. John Velasquez, 8 wins at the meet, only 3 behind. Corey Lannery, 6. And then you go down to Irad Ortiz with 5. But again, a nice, fun battle atop the jockey standings down at Keeneland with Gaffleon and Saez both sitting with 11 currently. So, as I say, that should be fun to watch over the last few days of the meet. Do want to once again mention, I mentioned it on the handicapping show earlier, but if you weren't tuned in, and certainly I pointed it out when we were in here doing the handicapping show on Thursday afternoon. Wow! The 7th race on Thursday at Keeneland. Fancy Martini gets it done at 54-1 under James Graham. Adam Biskitza on Barista comes second at 37-1, and at 48-1, Vince Chaminade was on Smarmy. So 54-1, 37-1, 48-1. Running fourth, a relatively short 4-1 price, but all of that combined, 10-cent superfecta, $72,000. And according to reports, one player had that. And one of the articles I read said, did it on an $18 ticket. I'm always curious, though, when I read that, is this like an ABC kind of group of tickets, or was it really an 18? Either way, it's impressive to come up with that. But superfecta at Keeneland on Thursday in that 7th race, a dime, $72,000. So it's just incredible. That the trifecta was $7,800 for 50 cents. The dollar exacta, $1,300. But boy, $72,000 for the superfecta. Yikes. Nice job by the player that had that one. We all aim for them. Every once in a while, somebody comes down with them. Have to applaud that. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, John Piasek will join us from Maryland, talking Laurel today. The Maryland Millions card, it's a nice card. And, I always go by, number of pages that it takes to print up a card. And typically, some tracks on, days where it's not a super intriguing card, they might wind up with 18 pages it takes to print up the PPs. A nice card, normally you're in the high 20s, maybe you get to 30. 51 pages to print up Saturday's Laurel Maryland Millions card. It's a fun afternoon. So we'll talk a little bit about that right after this. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Doesn't get any better than this, Tom. They're all in line, ready for the start.
And they're off. American Pharoah comes into his final furlong. Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime. This is unbelievable. It's one of the most sensational ever.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, a little conversation on that really, really great card down at Laurel this afternoon. Maryland Millions Classic. They were one of the first of the state bred programs. Goes back to Jim McKay times. And boy, this is a really great edition of the Maryland Millions this afternoon. So I thought we'd talk to John Piasek from the Maryland Breeders. The last time we talked to John, he was working for America's Best Racing. So John, good morning. But first, as we start out here, talk a little bit about the new gig. What are you doing down there in Maryland, and how do you like it?
Thanks, Seth. I mean, I absolutely love it. It's great. I started in mid-July, not long after I was on the show for the first time. So what I do is I do social media, newsletters, email blasts. I try to get all the word out about Maryland Breeds and racing in Maryland as much as I can. And it's been a good experience, and today is really the crescendo of everything. I know people are pumped up about the Breeders' Cup in 2 weeks. This is like my Breeders' Cup as a year-round Maryland racing fan. It's all the best horses, best trainers, best jockeys, and a great celebration of the Maryland breeding program.
Yeah, and Maryland racing is just so much fun all year long, and have some great folks to talk to. We're going to do a little recap with the action tomorrow with our friend Frank Vespi, and I know you do work with Frank and the Racing Biz, and we often plug in Dave Rodman. He's a lot of fun, so I enjoy the Maryland racing, but as you say, this is one of the highlights on that Maryland calendar. First and foremost, give us a little update. What's the weather look like down there today?
Could not be any nicer. Fast, firm, temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s. It is just a Chamber of Commerce kind of day, as they say. You cannot beat it.
That's what we like to hear, because that's what you want for days like this. Before we jump in and kind of take a look at some of the stakes action, I asked you when we were kind of off the air during the commercial break if you could explain the also eligible situation, because folks may look at some of these races and be a little confused at field size that is big in some races and is limited to 8 with also eligibles in other races. And I know the also eligibles on this particular day are a little bit different. So just give us a little explanation on that.
So what's going on is Maryland Million is not Maryland Breeds, it's Maryland Sired. So anyone who is sired by a stallion standing in Maryland the year they were conceived is eligible. And that includes horses bred outside of Maryland, the Pennsylvania Breeds today, New Jersey Breeds, and the like. So if you're Maryland bred but not Maryland sired, you can only get in if the race drops below 8 Maryland sired horses. For example, in the Classic, it's a main body of 11, and Quartermaker, who's sired by Curlin, obviously not a Maryland stallion, he's on the AE list. So he could only get in if there were 3 scratches.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad you explained
that. 4 scratches.
Yeah, because it's a little bit different. And we'll start out taking a look at the Maryland Million Classic, and Quartermaker would be the one I would lean towards, except he is on that AE list. And so I pulled up, and again, we're talking about the Maryland Million Classic. It'll go off at about 5 today as the 11th race. I pulled up September 28th race of Our Nation on Parade. This horse to me is interesting, and was interesting because out of this race that we're going to take a look at was claimed by Jamie Ness, high percentage trainer, obviously. But you have to wonder if they didn't claim with purpose, kind of looking at this particular race. And I would think that was a clever move with the claim, Our Nation on Parade. So I'm going to tilt in that direction, but I also thought Ain't the Beer Cold, Torch of Truth were intriguing in here. What are your thoughts on the classic?
To be noted, there is a jockey change on Torch of Truth. I think the jockey Daniel Centeno, Victor Carrasco, was injured in a spill yesterday. He'll be out for a little bit. Vance Gallows is my top pick. He's number seven. He's a son of Holy Boss for the king of Maryland Million, trainer Dale Capuano. He's coming off a very big effort in the Japan Turf Cup on October 1st, which was washed off the grass and run on dirt. He got involved in an extremely fast pace. He set very fast fractions for that distance. Those two horses who were on the pace, well beaten. However, Vance Gallows hung on very gamely and lost by just a length. He was in good form prior to that. He won the Bald Eagle Derby on this track in gate-to-wire fashion to start his three-year-old campaign in August. He came in second in the Stakes of Delaware off just a two-day layoff. So I got to figure he'll probably show speed, and if he drops over to the inside and gets a good trip, he's going to be tough to pass.
Very good. Again, this looks like a fun addition to that. Was there an update on Carrasco? Because I was doing the show yesterday, and that was a little bit of a scary incident, and it seemed like most everybody escaped there, but Carrasco, I know, was going to the hospital.
He's going to be out 1 to 2 weeks. I believe it's his hand was injured.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news then, because as I say, that was a little bit of a scary incident there, so it seems like...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot. I mean, it looked really bad, so... I'm just very grateful that it's not worse, and he'll be back up good as new soon.
Excellent. All right, let's go one race earlier on the card. The 10th race is the Maryland Million Sprint. As the name indicates, they're going to be going six furlongs. I pulled up a replay here for the Love of Bourbon. This one, we're going to take a look at the Liberty Bell on October 3rd. This was, win number five in the streak. So this horse comes in red hot off a five-race win streak. I thought there were some other horses, though, that were a little bit intriguing. Always in a Hurry, the 14 horse, Air Token with J.D. Acosta on board. A little bit intriguing to me in here. What were your thoughts on the sprint?
But you want to give a scratch update. The 4, 7, 12, 13, 15, and 16 are all out, which is no title defense for Air Token this year. For the Love of Bourbon, I think is much, much the best in here. He's probably the most talented horse on this card. As you said, he's won five straight. Three of them came in stakes. He can come from off the pace. He can be on the pace. The son of Anchor and Hope Stallion. Bourbon Curse, Holy Boss, who we talked about earlier, also an Anchor and Hope Stallion, has been in great form this year. He beat Baron a few times. Baron, a multiple stakes winner in his own right this year. So for Love of Bourbon, I think he's going to break well under Paco, and he'll leave them in the dust. He's a good horse to single in late pick five, in my opinion.
Very good. And speaking of that, do you have the breakdown of pick fours and pick fives on the day?
From what? I'm sorry.
The breakdown of pick fours and pick fives on the day. Which races were...
Oh, sure. So the early pick five starts in race one. The late pick five starts in race seven. Very important. It ends in race number 11, the Maryland Classic, not in race 12. Late pick four, early pick four, I should say, begins in race number two, and the late sequence begins in race number eight.
Very good. All right, let's go to race number nine, Maryland Millions Turf. I pulled up a replay here, taking a look at... Oh, I did not have a replay for this race, actually, so I will just give some thoughts here. Midnight Hauler, to me, was a little bit intriguing, coming in from Penn National 2-back and Parks last time. Just seems to be in some good form. I also thought So Street was intriguing, and Wicked Prankster. Nice big full field in here in the Maryland Million Turf. What are your thoughts?
It's a great race. And I also should note there are three pick fours. There's the minimum one that begins in race number four. Anyway, in the Maryland Million Turf, I do agree Midnight Hauler is going to be tough. He is a son of the late Seville, Pennsylvania bred, based in Pennsylvania at Penn National. He won a stakes at Penn National 2 starts back in Lebanon Valley on August 19th. He had a powerful move at the top of the stretch, was absolutely cruised to a length and three-quarter victory. He got into a bit of a tough pace last out in the Alphabet Soup Odds on Choice by Land and Sea, who came back to win a stakes next out. He got everything kind of his own way. Midnight Hauler was put in a very tough spot, but he nonetheless closed well and got second. He's been very Because it's an on grass this year. Got to figure he's going to be tough if he runs his race. One long shot I kind of like here is number 11, Wicked Prankster, a son of Country Life Stallion Mosler. He is coming off a 8-to-wire win in a first-level allowance race 6 days ago at Laurel on October 16th. There's not a lot of speed in here, and I can see him getting very loose on the lead.
I agree. I think that one is kind of intriguing and a little bit of a morning line price, so maybe one to take a look at. A couple of my favorite races on the afternoon annually are the two-year-old races. The nursery will be held a little bit earlier on in the card, but the eighth race is the Maryland Millions Lassies for the two-year-old fillies. It's a fun race. It's a fun competitive race, but I wound up landing on Chickiness in here. On the Bullet Workout, I just couldn't ignore that. Comes in really good form. 3 seconds and only one win. So I kind of looked in other directions because the horse maybe is a little bit camera shy. But, boy, the Bullet Workout just jumped out. But Charlie Baker brings down Malibu Moonshine from New York. So I thought that one was also intriguing. What do you see in the Lassie?
Well, Chickiness is a slight morning line favorite. However, based on what I've heard about her, just talking to different handicappers, it would not surprise me if she went off as a pretty big favorite. She broke a maiden impressively at Delaware on July 9th, one going away. Did come in second in an S2 Stars, but did lose to Bound by Destiny, who is a very good young filly based over there. She's much better than anyone else in this field. Chickiness still raced well in both those stars and was well clear of third place both times. She's the daughter of Blofeld, who stands at Murmur Farm. Think she should get a good trip near the pace. Malibu Moonshine, also interesting. She's a daughter of Bourbon Courage, as you know, trained by Charlie Baker. Made her debut at Pimlico on September 11th, and Dylan Davis came down for the mount that day. That was the weekend in between Saratoga and Aqueduct. She made a huge swoop move, won by 6 lengths, and a big figure that day. Not sure if a track is going to play to her favor, but if it is a perfectly normal track, she'll be heard from late in a big way.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, and it's a great. John, I said earlier in the show, I said I normally rate cards and the excitement level and field size by how many pages it takes to print out the PPs, and normally, you know, pretty good card here. You're up in the high 20s or in the low 30s or whatnot. 51 pages for today's card down at Laurel. So congratulations to you and everybody down there at Laurel and the Maryland Breeders. It looks like it's going to be a really big afternoon.
Thank you, Seth. You know, it takes a village to put all of this together. The Laurel Race Office, all the owners, trainers did an amazing job getting this field together. And it's a real testament to all the work and dedication that goes into Maryland racing, and it's going to be an awesome showcase.
Yeah, looking forward to it this afternoon. You mentioned Country Life Farm. If Sally Ellen Hurst shows up today, tell her I appreciate the box of ties she sent. She sent me some kind of funny ties for Saratoga because my co-host during the summer up at Saratoga, Steve Bick, on Sundays, he's not a fan usually of my ties. So tell her I appreciated the box of ties she she sent if she shows up this afternoon. But again, congratulations to you and everybody. Have a great day. Appreciated the conversation. And John, we'll talk again.
Thank you, Seth. Take care.
Appreciate it. John Piasek, again, with the Maryland Breeders. And it looks like a really, really big afternoon down at Laurel today. All right, I will wrap it up. We're a few minutes early, but that's okay. I would normally go to a break and come back and do some news and notes, but I'm going to wrap it up because I got to hop in the car and head out to the Cleats Branch. So I'll get a head start on that. Again, if you're a patron out in that direction, stop by the Cleats Branch this afternoon for a customer appreciation day. Should be a lot of fun. As they say, we've done a few of them now over the past month and a half or so since Saratoga ended. Been great crowds. Everybody's had a lot of fun. Some food, some contests. You went maybe wind up with a little extra betting value if you participate and win the contest. So should be a lot of fun. There's some drawings during the afternoon, too, that will maybe allow you a little extra betting fun. So, again, if you're a patron out in that direction, the Cleats Branch out Utica Way on this Saturday afternoon, customer appreciation afternoon. All right, that means I won't be in this afternoon for OTB Live, but of course we'll be back tomorrow to recap some of the action, and we'll recap some of this Maryland Millions action. We'll have Frank Vespian with us tomorrow from theracingbiz.com, so we'll recap some of that and more tomorrow on Racing Across America at 10 a.m. So should be a lot of fun. And Dan, I'm correct, right? Nighttime thoroughbred available tonight? So if you're playing tonight, keep that in mind. Excuse me, you can play the thoroughbreds throughout the entire day, evening and night, right here on Capital OTB Bet. You can watch on Capital OTB TV. So I'm going to say thank you for tuning in this morning. As always, been a lot of fun. A fun edition of Handicapper Support this morning with Anthony Marmino and myself, taking a look at Belmont at the Big A, as well as Keeneland. Don't forget, if you didn't get to write down those, you can always go to capitalotb.com, click on the Handicapper Support link, pull up the printable sheet. I have my selections as well today for the Laurel Maryland Millions card, so you can check that out on the Handicapper Support one sheet at capitalotb.com also. Otherwise, I think we're ready to wrap. And as I say, I'm going to hop in the car and head out to a fun afternoon out at the Cleats Branch. So really appreciate your tuning in this morning, as we always do. Hopefully we gave out some good information that will allow you to maybe cash a few extra tickets this afternoon, because that's what it's all about. Seth Merrill wrapping it up for a Saturday morning. Again, not in this afternoon with OTB Live because we're on the road, but we'll be back in tomorrow for another edition of Racing Across America at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.